You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, I'm Nicholas Wildstar, and I'm the only black libertarian Republican running for California governor in 2022. When it comes to police officers being involved in these shootings and having to pay out multi-million dollar loss settlements to these families of these victims, it comes out of taxpayers' pockets. So my proposal as a candidate is to mandate it to where every police officer is required to carry liability insurance.
It seems that the only thing we've been able to count on lately is change.
And we're really interested in how you all are doing and adapting in these uncertain times.
Because we're always so inspired by your stories.
So we're continuing to feature all different types of experiences and different points of view.
Someone brilliant once said, "Stop looking for the new normal. That ship has sailed. All we have is what's happening now." So we named this Thursday edition of The Only One in the Room, The Now Normal.
And you can expect a new episode from us every week, as long as everything keeps changing.
And don't forget to look out for our special Sunday edition and tune in every Tuesday when we bring you a brand new, amazing episode of The Only One in the Room. Nicholas Wildstar, hi. How are you?
Fantastic. Hello to you, Laura, and thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. Can you tell me, when was the first time you performed on a stage?
That's actually a really good question. I would say in middle school, when I was in drama class, I was invited in by the drama director to play Watson in the school play. So that was my
Sherlock
first time.
Sherlock Holmes?
Yes.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
So that was my first time ever being on stage in front of an audience.
And when was the first time you performed music on stage?
That would have had to have been a few years later.
Okay.
I had basically found my voice as a musician and started to, I guess, tour around town and do local, talent shows and other venues to kind of grow a name around the city.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember the first time, though?
I believe I was probably 16 or 15.
Okay. Yeah. And what'd you perform?
Yeah, what was your first song?
That's a really good question. It was on public broadcast. And I think the name of the song was Mr. Believer.
Okay. Right. All right. Mr. Believer. I don't know that, but...
Well, it was one of my own original songs. So
right.
I wouldn't
right.
expect you would.
Okay. Mr. Believer. Well, that's actually a really good theme for your life, from what I know of it. So thank you for that. I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room, special Now Normal edition. But I'm never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, Hun. So I was going to talk about something that happened just a little bit earlier this year, on October 11th. Ice Cube, the rapper activist, was defending his right to work with President Trump on his Platinum Plan, his CWBA, Contract with Black America. And he tweeted, "Everybody's been mad at me because I haven't been on the expletive, you know, the gravy train of these candidates, especially Joe Biden and Harris. I don't trust none of them. No president has ever done right by us." He added that he tried to meet with both Democrats and Republicans met with him and moved their agenda a lot because of what he said. And they put $500 billion on the table.
What?
That's what he said. Mm. On October 17th of this year, gubernatorial candidate Nicholas Wildstar issued an official response to Cube's CWBA, which said in part, "However, one thing this Platinum Plan doesn't seem to recognize is the historical pattern of government programs that have failed the American people and Black communities in particular. We need to be our own strength, and we can't just rely on the government to save us. But if they really do want to help, they can do one simple thing. Get out of the way."
Yeah. There you go.
So Nicholas Wildstar is one of the first major candidates to formally announce a gubernatorial campaign for California. It's 2021, right, Nicholas?
22.
Okay. 2022. Mm-hmm. And he's a libertarian activist. Wildstar was a candidate for Fresno mayor in 2020 and California governor in 2018, where he received nearly 12,000 votes in this historically crowded race. His activism and platform has since resonated with the wider Republican voter base in the state, as many citizens have become increasingly frustrated with the current Democrat majority leadership. So welcome, Nicholas. Welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure indeed. I'm honored to have an opportunity to speak more on these issues and hopefully get more supporters on board as well, because we definitely need to take back our state from these authoritarians.
Well, we really appreciate having your point of view on the show, and we want to make sure that we represent all different viewpoints and that everybody gets a chance to be heard. So we're really excited to have you. And I'm just going to start off by asking you a question that I ask basically everybody. How do you identify?
What do you mean? That's a pretty loaded question.
Well, here's why I asked the question, because some people prefer certain gender terms that may not be obvious. So I ask people how they identify so we can just know that from the gate.
Oh, he, him, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sir.
Yes. Anything else? Obviously, you identify as a libertarian Republican.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would say that's about it.
Okay.
I don't really try to attach myself to too many labels.
I appreciate that. I'm going to start off with a quote of yours. And it says, "The policies that have hurt our communities the most have been created by Democrats. They continue to take away our freedom, promising to make things safer, but no one feels safe in their own neighborhoods anymore." And I chose that quote because I'm wondering if that's why you left the Democratic Party in 2012.
Absolutely. I mean, President Barack Obama had done nothing to reduce the amount of killings of Black people in the country. I mean, Trayvon Martin was on his watch. So was Eric Garner and many other Black men and women. Sandra Bland were all killed under the administration of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. But I actually left the Democratic Party alone back in 2008.
Oh, I see.
After Barack Obama first ran for president.
And okay.
That was simply because he ran on the campaign promise of getting Wall Street out of politics. And then a month into his presidency, took a $500,000 paycheck from Goldman Sachs. And then he bailed out the banks, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two largest student loan lenders in the mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. And I basically saw that as being a sellout of the values that all Americans support, because it didn't just take Black Americans to get him elected. It took every American that was supportive of his ideals and what he was proposing to do once he was elected. So a month into his presidency, I was done with Barack Obama.
Right.
I started shopping for alternatives, and that's when I actually stumbled upon Dr. Ron Paul, libertarian who ran for president in 2008, and started to do anything and everything that I can to help him get elected in 2012.
Right.
This episode's being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, hon, I finally ordered my Voyage AC gift boxes for the holidays.
Is that right? What did you get, hon?
Well, for Chloe and Ellie, I got the candle and perfume set, and I got the wellness gift box set for my mom.
Wait, I thought they were all the same. How many different ones are there?
Almost as many as you want, because you can mix and match. Plus, they are stunning. You almost don't want to open them.
Oh, but you probably have to go into the store to get it, right?
Well, I did, but you can just as easily order them online. Just look under kits in the pull-down menu.
Well, maybe I should order mine now.
The sooner the better, hon. And remember, these aren't factory-made products. Every candle is hand-poured. Every perfume is made by...
Melanie Apple.
Yes, Melanie Apple. So if you haven't started your holiday shopping yet, don't worry. You can take care of everyone on your list at Voyage AC.
I love one-stop shopping.
Me too, honey. And Voyage AC has absolutely everything you need. Amazing gifts, gorgeous face and body products, faux fur throws, diffusers, clutches, beach bags, clothes, and of course, these gorgeous mix and match gift boxes. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEctcie.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount right now to all of our listeners. That's 10% off everything you buy, even through the holidays.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
And you describe yourself as not a Red Hat Republican, but a Ron Paul Republican, right?
Absolutely. So
can you just explain the difference there, please?
Indeed. I feel like the Republican Party, as well as the Democratic Party, is still a bit statist. They want government to be in control over certain industries, government programs, welfare programs, or any type of business development, etc. And with libertarianism, the belief is that we, the people, should be in control of those choices. Every individual should have the freedom to do as they choose without government coercion or influence. So as a Ron Paul Republican, my goal is to reduce the size of government significantly. Mm-hmm. That way they're not regulating every single facet of our being. And of course, the amount of taxes that they're collecting from us to use for these social programs or pet projects that they may end up coming up with. So that's my goal as a Republican, using the Republican vehicle to promote these libertarian ideas, which are quickly becoming more attractive in the state of California. I mean, just recently with the most recent election, that proved that the people of California are leaning more towards libertarian ideas and solutions by supporting the idea that felons should have their right to vote and restoring that, letting independent contractors work for themselves by passing Prop 22, not passing any of these bond proposals to increase our taxes. So the people of California are more libertarian than they think. They're just still stuck in the tribalism of thinking they must vote for Republican or Democrat in order to have those, you know, those choices brought to fruition. So I'll hopefully be that breath of fresh air that they're looking for from a politician, and when I introduce myself and my candidacy.
Well, first of all, thank you for kind of running down those things that were on the California propositions that were on the California ballot. Where we are with the election now, I hadn't paid attention to any of those, but I had voted. I had done my research and voted, and I actually voted and according to what you said. I voted for those two things, but I was thinking about it yesterday. Like, I wonder what happened to the proposition. So thank you for letting me know what passed and what didn't.
My pleasure. The mainstream media doesn't do a good job to follow up to inform us, especially when it goes against status quo and those, you know, issues that they've been supportive of as a media outlet. It would make them look contradictory.
Where do you get your news from, Nicholas?
Independent media sources. That's a good question too.
You want me to get back to you on that?
I turn to the people just as the mainstream media does. So I have certain people that I follow on Instagram.
Oh, individuals.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I know a lot of people who are doing that. And they consider that to be a sounder source of information than mainstream media. When you and I talked, I don't know if you said this or not, or I might have just made it up. You're a supporter of Black Lives Matter, is that correct?
I certainly am. More so the message than the organization.
Right.
I feel as if, of course, when it comes to the message of Black Lives Matter and reducing the amount of abuse by police officers, definitely needs to be acknowledged by every person in the state. Mm-hmm. As well as in the country. I mean, I've spoken to not only Black people, but Hispanic people, Asian people, white people who do support the reduction of size of our police force, as well as, of course, the amount of policies that they have to enforce that actually end up being more so focused on being revenue generators than stopping crimes, especially when there isn't any victim, like substance use or abuse or possession. Doesn't hurt anyone unless, of course, that individual has some sort of a addiction issue, but in which case it should be dealt with as a health issue opposed to a criminal issue. So, of course, when it comes to excessive abuse and abuse of authority by police officers, that's also something that hands down across the board, a lot of people agree on. They think that no matter what your profession is, your actions should have consequences, especially when they're bad ones. And with the police officers that go out and use excessive force, and they are minimal as well. I mean, I've spoken to tons of police officers who have been on the police force for decades, never used their service weapon once.
Right.
I never even thought about it. So when it comes to those individuals that have, they definitely need to be held accountable to the same laws and rules that are applied to the public, we the people, since they are public servants. So I'm friends with Devontae Clark, whose brother is Stephon Clark, a Black man that was shot and killed in his grandparents' backyard in Sacramento when police officer believed he had a gun in his hand when really it was a cell phone.
Cell phone, yeah, I remember. That was horrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Out of that tragedy came something wonderful for we the people, and that's a growing demand for criminal justice reform. And the Stephon Clark Law, a bill that was signed into law by Governor Gavin Newsom last year, was supposedly to quell the amount of excessive force used by police officers. Although ever since then, there's been over 130 or more officer-involved incidents and shootings with almost next to no accountability. So when it comes to taxpayers in the state, we definitely are one of the highest tax per capita, even though we're still the fifth or sixth, by I don't know at this point with this whole COVID lockdown, but we're still one of the nation's and world's largest economies, even though we're still the highest taxed.
Right.
So when it comes to police officers being involved in these shootings and having to pay out multi-million-dollar law settlements to these, you know, the families of these victims, it comes out of taxpayers' pockets. So my proposal as a candidate is to mandate it to where every police officer is required to carry liability insurance. That way it reduces, of course, the possibility of them using excessive force. But if they do and it happens to lead to some sort of a lawsuit, the officers themselves will have to pay for it and not the hardworking people of California.
Interesting. So they would get their own liability insurance.
Absolutely.
They would pay for that. And you're also an advocate for gun rights. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
And you want to make California an open carry state?
I want to make California a constitutional carry state.
Okay. What's the difference?
Whether you decide to conceal it or not, that's your choice. You won't be forced to do so. With the Mulford Act, that's what it pretty much did, was suspend every Californian's right to openly carry a weapon. And that was simply because the Black Panthers decided to march on, you know, Capitol Hill in Sacramento and say, right, we should have the same right to openly carry our weapons just as every other Californian does. But that legislation went through, that was signed into law by a Republican governor, Ronald Reagan,
right,
and supported. So as governor, I will be nullifying that law as well as every other unconstitutional gun law.
You believe that we'll be safer if everyone is able to arm themselves?
Absolutely. There are open carry states all through the country, like Texas, and of course, with you being armed, with there being an armed population, that reduces the amount of threats significantly, especially gun violence, which tends to happen in places where there are more restrictive gun laws than anything.
Right.
And of course, with it being a larger armed populace, that's going to give you, the individual, the ability to protect yourself by any means if you're, you know, threatened in any way. And there are also ammunition laws in the state of California that need to be repealed. I mean, you're forced to use deadly force if someone enters your home because maiming is illegal.
Right.
You can't buy rubber bullets in the state of California because that leads to a liability. All of that needs to be reversed and repealed, and that's exactly what I'll be doing as governor.
Wow. Do you think that with the way that this presidential election has gone and how polarizing it was and how divisive, that more people will be looking for an alternative like the Libertarian Party as a result?
Absolutely. You had a large number of people actually vote Libertarian in this election. It's unfortunate that they didn't get the majority that they needed to actually upset the two-party system at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the growing demand is increasing. And in places like California, as I said before, the populace tends to be Libertarian-minded, just don't have the faith in believing that if they vote Libertarian, that that candidate will actually win. And unfortunately,
right,
we're still under the false belief that we got to vote for a winner and that we shouldn't be voting with our morals and conscience and principles intact. And that's what I'll be playing on as running as a libertarian Republican, is to hopefully entice those people that fear that if they do vote libertarian, that they're going to be throwing their vote away, to know that it's going to be secure in voting for those values and principles, right, with me running as a Republican.
Right. Really interesting stuff. And so when you talk about the government getting out of the way, it's the libertarians want the government out of the way, basically, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Republicans and Democrats want the government to be much more hands-on.
Exactly. In one form or another.
So when you made this decision in 2008 to not support the Democratic Party anymore because you felt let down after Barack Obama became president with his actions, how did your Black peers, your friends, your family view your pull away from the party, and then throwing your hat in the ring to run as a libertarian Republican? How is that viewed?
That's a good question. The Black friends and family during that time more so was feeling as if I had given up on the political system, when mm-hmm. I indeed did not. I was actually courted by friends who were not Black, who were promoting for me to vote for Dennis Kucinich and all sorts of other candidates who I had never heard of before.
Right, I was about to say, who's that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he was a candidate running for president.
Okay.
And he, of course, was proposing to be that third party choice, that alternative to the two-party system. Mm-hmm. But because I was still in that mindset to where I thought, of course, he's a lost cause, that I didn't pay her much mind. But after I had made that shift myself, she became one of my greatest supporters and still is to this day.
Okay.
Simply because of that connection and for desire of the change that we have for our electoral system. We haven't given up on politics. We still feel as if it's a way. It's just one that's going to be shifting the power. The power to choose is put back into the hands of we the people mm-hmm. versus the select few and those people that vote religiously. I mean, demographically, that tends to be white people of the age 50 and up. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that show up at the voting booths.
Not well, and Black
younger
women.
Younger people creeping up there. Yeah. But you have a lot of candidates running for office trying to target younger voters
yes.
who don't end up going out to vote on election day, or certain groups like the Black community or the Hispanic community, to target them specifically with policies and mm-hmm. then having it backfire on them, such as Antonio Villaraigosa, someone who used to be mayor of Los Angeles and during his gubernatorial campaign was more so promoting those issues that he felt like would resonate with the Hispanic voters in California.
Right.
But it wasn't enough to get him elected. And now yeah. we're stuck with Gavin Newsom.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Gavin Newsom, because I wanted to ask you why it is that you sit in front of your local Walmart every Saturday and what's the other day?
Mondays
yep. and Saturdays for a couple of hours. Is that right?
Yes, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. I sit outside of the Walmart mm-hmm. near me out here in Fresno and collect signatures to recall him and get him out of office now.
And why is that?
One of my main reasons for getting involved with the recall was his passage of AB 5, which is a bill that prevents people in California from working as an independent contractor. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if you're a plumber, a painter, a photographer, a mechanic, a nanny like my wife is, you mm-hmm. can't work for yourself. You must work for a business, a corporation, a conglomerate, or some other entity other than you working for yourself.
Right.
And I believe that's the bedrock of the American dream, is you having the opportunity to be an entrepreneur, start your own business, and work for yourself and create your own income and wealth. And that passage of that bill actually started to kill off the gig economy, which is a great contributor to the economy here in California. So mm-hmm. that's why you had companies like Uber and Lyft, who have millions of dollars to promote passage of Prop 22 to give right. them an opportunity to go back to work as independent contractors, or else they were going to suspend services in the state altogether if it did not pass.
Oh, I didn't Thankfully, know that.
Yeah, that was the threat looming over over people's heads. So thankfully, you had organizations like MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and other organizations, grassroots organizations, come out and support the bill, and it ended up passing overwhelmingly.
Nice. So, yeah, I voted for that.
Excellent. That's what we need. Yes. Let people go to work and, you know, do what they do best, create income for themselves, and in return, strengthen the economy here in our state.
Absolutely.
So what Gavin Newsom did by signing that bill into law was kill off tons of jobs and industries, preventing people to work, and that added to unemployment before the coronavirus lockdown. And now since then, it's at about 26%, which is one of the highest in the nation. So if we want to get our economy back to where it was before all of this, and if not have it be stronger than ever before, we got to get rid of that bill, which is why we'll repeal that immediately once elected.
Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to just get back to Stevante Clark for a second, because you've been mentoring him. Is that is that correct? And the mentorship is away from outrage and towards positive political and community involvement. Is that the kind of thing that you see yourself doing more of between now and the 2022 election?
Not really. It takes a lot of time and energy to invest into mentorship. So I applaud those people out there that actually do that, because it's a much needed value in the community.
Yeah. But
my wife and I, we just had our first child. And
congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. So I would like to invest that time and energy into my son opposed to someone else. But during the time I was able to mentor Stevante, he was dealing with a troubling period in his life. He had just lost his brother due to this tragedy and was dealing with the criminal justice system. They had thrown him in jail for, you know, expressing himself of his loss. And that then ended up with him going and being held in mental health institutions. So he just needed some guidance at that point in time. And
you were there.
Thankful. Yes, exactly. So by the grace of God, I was given the opportunity to connect with him before he had ran into those troubles and was able to help him see through it to where he then started to aid me in my campaign for California governor. It was towards the end, and that then started him on his own path to get involved politically. And now he's on the committee for Measure U in Sacramento.
Oh, really?
So the same desk and the mayor's desk that he had jumped on top of and started protesting against, he now sits behind as a member for this Measure U committee. So
that's amazing.
Absolutely.
So besides being a new papa and a husband, what else is in front of you before the 2022 election?
Those are the main two priorities. Other than that, and me focusing on the course, making sure that I'm able to generate an income for myself, like most of the people here in the state, my line of work has been deemed non-essential. My former employer ended
What's your line of work?
I used to do digital marketing.
So, okay,
But now everybody's online, you know?
Yes. right.
So with me working as a freelancer, it's kind of hard to find as much work in that industry as I did before. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of me having to shift my priorities and making sure that I'm able to, you know, provide for myself and my family. But
of course,
in me doing so, I'm also focusing on my campaign for governor, because I feel as if I am given the opportunity to serve the people of California. That's all the job that I need. That would be the most rewarding work I could ever do in my entire life, and what I feel like is my life purpose, which is why as a candidate, I'm even offering to do the job for half the price. Governor Newsom gets paid over $170,000 a year, $15,000 a month. That's an absurd amount of money for you to be a public servant. Mm-hmm. So I, again, am offering to do the job for $60,000 a year, and we'll be maximizing every other state employee salary at that same amount as well. So that's definitely going to save the people of California some money just by hiring me. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's one of the attractors to for me to get the job.
Well, it appears that you have thought out a lot of things, and you can definitely hear your passion. So I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us, because this is truly an only one in the room. You are the only person that has these viewpoints that I know that is running for a major office in an upcoming election. So again, I just really appreciate it. Tell me, Nicholas, where can people find you?
Please, if you would like to help get involved with my campaign, whether it be money or manpower, visit my website, wildstar2022.com. That's wild like an animal, star like in the sky, 2022.com. As soon as you visit my website, there's a pledge card that pops up. So again, if you'd like to aid me by joining Team Wildstar and become a staffer, please fill out that pledge card or make a donation today. I mean, I'm completely 100% grassroots. I'm not being funded by any special interest group or certain unions or any lobbying group, or super PAC.
Right.
So all of my funding to get my campaign up and running is going to come from the hardworking people of this state.
Great. Great. Thank you so much, Nicholas. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, fantastic interview. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you both. It was an honor and indeed a pleasure. Absolutely.
The Only One in the Room has brand new interviews for you every week. You won't want to miss our full episodes every Tuesday, Scott Talks on Wednesday, and our new Thursday series, The Now Normal. And twice per month, be sure to catch our 30-minute Sunday edition by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to tell us about your Only One story. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.